incense, your solemn assemblies, you take what I give you as pure and clean, and you defile it. I mean, you know, he says that to us. He says, how can you do what you do in clear conscience? Well, they loved sin.
Well, the reason they couldn't be good, let's say it that way.
We can't be good on our own.
They couldn't be acceptable for the Father was that this blood covering lasted, and they had to do this every year, right?
Yes.
They had to go back. So in other words, this sacrifice was only a temporary sacrifice, a temporary covering of their sin. They had to go back, the sacrifice, the priest covered, you know, the sins of the people with the animal blood. Okay, but God knew the reason they go back and sin is their nature didn't change.
That's right.
They still
have that sin nature. And then they get involved with foreign countries and heathen nations that are around Israel, the Assyrians and the Philistines and all these other. These are countries that are totally ruled by Satan. They even sacrifice their sons and daughters. And here's more blood sacrifice. They feel like, well, if I sacrifice the one that I love the most, then the gods will really see me. Well, Israel took on this horrific sin. God says at one point in Jeremiah, he says, I didn't even think of that. That never even came into my mind. And here you are killing your sons and your daughters to make yourself feel good or to make yourself feel like you have given your very best for me. I don't want it.
Now see, God made his primary creation in his image and likeness, okay, because he wanted relationship. And he was saying, I want them to be like me. Well, now here they are sinning. And God is saying, you know, that's just beyond what he's saying is, I don't think sin.
That's right.
I don't meditate sin. I don't meditate evil. Over in the New Testament, we find a scripture that says, if you ask anything according to his will, he hears you. Now, the implication to me there, Barbara, is if you're over there talking sin and all that kind of stuff, God isn't hearing you. God does not entertain those thoughts in his mind. And one of the cruel parts of this thing is that we've taken the creative aspects of us as a human race, our imagination that's most like God.
Mm-hmm.
The animal doesn't have an imagination.
Mm-hmm.
We have
right.
an imagination
that's
because right. we are to be creative like our Father God.
Well, we were made in his image and his likeness. I'll tell you, Darren, that's...
When man fell, he really lost that creativity.
He really did. And God says here in Isaiah 1, he says in the 14th verse, I hate your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts. They have become a burden to me. I'm weary of bearing them. So when you spread out your hands in prayer, I'm hiding my eyes from you. You know, he can't handle sin. God cannot stand sin. And yes, even though you multiply your prayers toward me, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood. Your hands have sinned, he's saying.
All right, now let's talk about that. Here the people are trying to praise the Lord, but they have defiled hands, defiled hearts, defiled motives because of their sin nature.
Yes.
Because of all the sin that came into the human race here. Now, what we're talking about here is compromise. You're coming, let's say that you might have one hand that's clean, the other hand's dirty. You're holding up then a compromised situation. It's convoluted. I mean, you can't be pure.
Yes.
And in the Old Testament, they couldn't be pure because of their nature, the human nature, the fallen nature of man that now has the satanic nature.
Yes.
And by the way, Satan had become their spiritual father.
That's right. And Darren, it's so true that listeners to Darren Live find themselves in this kind of position where when they pray, their prayers aren't answered. And they're saying, why? I pray. Because God says here in Isaiah 1, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds from my sight, cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice. How can we do that? We can't do that on our own. We need a mediator. We need somebody to come in and teach us and to become the I don't like the word representative, but God uses the word propitiation. That means he's our substitute for us. He comes and takes on our very likeness.
Well, he is legally elevating us to be. Now, what we're headed for here is a concept of righteousness.
Uh-huh. Oh, boy, it sure
when
is.
When you confess your sins, you become the life and the nature of God, and he puts you back, in fact, even in a better, stronger position, in a higher position than Adam and Eve had.
That's right.
Once you go for redemption, once you say, all right, I'm in the wrong kingdom, and I know that. In other words, you have a sin consciousness that you recognize.
Yes.
You say, I'm a sinner. How do I get out of here? I'm losing my spiritual father here, is a child abuser, and I'm getting abused. That's basically what you say.
That's right.
Well, Jesus said, if you cry out to me, I have made it possible. I have given you the ability to confess, hey, I am a sinner. I don't want to be a sinner anymore. Therefore, I need to be forgiven. My sins need to be taken away. The books need to be balanced. It needs to be justified here. And in that process, what God does is he reaches down and gives you his very nature inside of you, become like him, and that's called righteousness.
That's right. Oh, praise the Lord. In Isaiah 1:18, he says now to us, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. Darren, this is the concept of the born-again experience that Jesus introduced in John 3, right here in Isaiah 1. And I love this word, let us reason together. It's number 3198 in the Hebrew, and it's yakok, and it means to dispute with someone, to be convicted, to be reproved, to judge, to prove, to correct, to mediate, or to arbitrate. And one of the meetings is Judah had been practicing religious festivals of their own design in rebellion against Jehovah, the plaintiff. Here we get into a court situation. Here we get into a situation where God is the plaintiff. Who is the defendant? We are. We are.
And the plaintiff is always one in the courtroom that brings the charge.
Yes.
He is the one that, now it might be a district attorney, but he's saying, I'm going to operate here on the behalf of the innocent, and I'm going to charge the guilty over here, so I'm taking place of the plaintiff, and it's always in the courtroom the plaintiff is against the guilty.
Yes, that's right. He sure is. And the defendant is the one who committed the crime.
He's defending himself.
And he has to defend himself to prove himself innocent. Well, God knew that we couldn't defend ourselves to prove ourselves innocent. So hallelujah. He's bringing a promise. But the rest of this word, reason together, 3198, in the King James Version, it says, let us reason together. And this prophet is saying, let us debate our case in court. And God goes on in the book of Isaiah, Darren, and it is so wonderful. In Isaiah 43, I believe it's 25 and 26, he says, I am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake. I want you free. I want you freer than you want yourself free. Darren, so many times when we're praying for people, and we do pray for you, listen, when we get your cards and letters and your phone calls, we pray for you. And sometimes when we're praying, Darren, we say, you know what? We want this breakthrough for them more than they want this breakthrough. And that's what God is saying here. I want these transgressions removed more than you want them removed. And he says, I will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us argue our case together. State your cause that you may be proved right.
I know part of stating your cause here, and in the Old Testament we had some men that were called remembrancers.
Mm-hmm.
They brought God to remembrance.
Yes.
Moses at one point said, oh, God, you're so mad, I know you're mad, and you got every reason to be mad, but you want to destroy all these people, but remember who you are.
Yes.
Remember your nature. Well, here God is saying, in a sense, state your cause that you may be proved right. All right, we may have to say to the Lord God, and it's a good idea to humble ourselves and say this, listen, I can't make it on my own, but remember who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that you have this propensity and this desire to forgive and to restore and to replenish and redeem and to resurrect.
Oh, praise
God. That's your nature, Father. That's
yes.
your nature. I'm arguing my case not based on my holiness, because I don't have any. Not based on my righteousness, but based on yours. I want to argue my case based on your nature. And I'll tell you, Barbara, when this wonderful prophet Isaiah looked through that prophetic window, he could see Jesus coming, couldn't he?
Yes.
He could see Jesus down the track in history coming. And I'll tell you, it's such a prophetic message about Jesus. He will be pierced for our transgressions. See, we couldn't do that on our own. We couldn't pierce ourselves. We couldn't bring an acceptable sacrifice. We had to turn to the Most High God, and what he wanted to deliver to us in the mankind sense was perfect blood that wouldn't just cover our sins and our transgressions, but would take that away. I think that's such a wonderful, wonderful story, and we're going to talk about that more here in just a little bit.